The Pharisees were trying to discredit the work that Jesus did. They were trying to lessen his influence, and they'll do the same. They'll try. But you're going to be the stronger man. You're going to rise up. You're going to be the stronger man. You're going to rise up and say, no. People tried to discredit based on what didn't take place instead of focusing on what did. And that is a tactic of the enemy. Notice it happens all the time, and I'll say, but what did he do? Because there's a measure of growing people's faith, even those that walk in with faith. Faith grows. There's a measure of faith, and if faith grows, what did he do? When you start to focus on what he did do, and you start giving honor to where honor is due, you say, Lord, I glorify, I thank you, God. What you just did, you're going to continue. I thank you, God. Your faith grows. Your ability to receive grows. And the accuser of the brother, the mouth that is always trying to bring accusations and is always trying to discredit and disqualify what Jesus did, starts to reduce and starts to become silent. Our authority is not based on anything other than the finished work of the cross. It is the finished work of the cross. It's Jesus came, he died, rose again to set captives free, but he also left us the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. We've been gifted with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual attacks against kingdom authority. What you just saw demonstrated is kingdom authority. You know, you walk in kingdom dynamics. We are all called as believers in Jesus Christ to walk in kingdom authority, right? To walk in this kingdom dynamic of healing the sick, of raising the dead, of casting out demons, of believing God and believing with people, sometimes for people, but believing God, you know, for their healing, right? But there are also spiritual attacks that try to come against kingdom authority. Right? You all have kingdom authority because Jesus has given it to you. You understand that. We have authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus performed many miracles. He performed many miracles, and the Pharisees could not deny them. They couldn't deny that Jesus was performing miracles, right? And so what did they have to do? They tried to undermine him, right? They spoke in a way that would cause others to not believe. To try to bring a dishonor and undermining happening, right? Amen? To try to remove his authority or his influence. Of course, we know that is impossible, but people still tried. They tried it with Jesus, and they try it with us. And you need to know that the authority that God has given you, yes, there will be sometimes there's just that opposition, of course, because it's unbelief. There's a spirit of unbelief that is at work. But you cannot allow it. You have to recognize it and say, you know what? The Pharisees tried to disqualify and discredit Jesus. They tried to lessen his influence. And we are not going to take that bait when the enemy tries to do the same thing for us. Amen? Amen? They try to ridicule and undermine his influence. When you get healed, I said this is a perfect setup for the message because it is. Many of you received healing tonight, deliverance tonight. Many of you received a touch from the hand of God tonight. Do not let anyone discredit what just took place. Don't let anyone, when you leave from this place, family members that mean well, even your own thinking, don't allow it to discredit so that, therefore, the healing that you received would be sometimes lost. Sometimes lost. It will not be lost if you hang on to the fact that God is the healer and we will not allow the enemy to steal not one thing. Amen? So Satan's tactics have not changed, right? So we're going to beware. In Matthew 12 and 28, Matthew 12, 28, we can put that scripture up, please. It says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, surely, surely, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. There were demons cast out today by the finger of God. Every time that we have demons cast out, it is never the same, first of all. It doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be showy. Many times it's very loud. Many times. It's not always loud. Sometimes it's very quiet. But regardless of what the outward manifestation is, we need to know this, the authority that God has given us as believers, the authority that we carry in the kingdom. It says, by the finger of God, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, you know that the kingdom of God has entered. It's here. It's present. It's now. And so these are things we take, yes, by faith, but also just by understanding how the word is, how the word works. We know that Jesus did it. He was ridiculed. Jesus did it. They contended against him. They tried to disqualify. They tried to change because there was always people looking. They tried to change or discredit him for the onlookers to lessen his influence. But Jesus was always pointed to the Father. Jesus was always doing what the Father was doing. Amen? So therefore, we're going to read this portion of Scripture here. Let's look at Matthew 12 and starting in 22. Then there was brought to him one who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute, and he healed him. So there was an individual that was brought to Jesus. He was possessed by demons. He was blind, couldn't see, and he was mute, couldn't hear. And Jesus healed him. Just like we saw here tonight, healings taking place. Jesus healed them. Jesus healed them all. But in this specific incident, he healed this individual. So that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. There was a spirit of infirmity because of the demons that were upon and within this man. But Jesus healed this individual. And so he could speak and he could hear. And all the multitudes were amazed. So everyone saw it. They were amazed. Could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they had a different response. This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts. So here they are. They're thinking this. This fellow, he does not cast out demons except for by Beelzebub, which is another name for Satan, a high-ranking demon, right? The ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Miracles, they often trigger two reactions, two responses, you know. You've got those that walk in faith, pure faith. They believe because they saw it. They believe because God's word says it. They believe. And then you have those that walk in unbelief, in doubt. They're skeptical. They're like, I don't know. I'm not sure. When the Pharisees couldn't deny that Jesus healed that individual, what was their angle? Well, we can't deny that he has power to heal. He healed, except for that the power didn't come from God. It came from a demon. So they didn't deny that the man was healed. They didn't deny that the power was moving. They just denied the source. They denied the source that it came from. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe that there are people that are operating from a demonic source. And I believe that people get, it would appear that some people get healed and delivered. But the source of that individual is not coming from God. You need to know that is the case sometimes with certain individuals. And you need to have discernment that you know that whom you're getting prayer for is a holy vessel and not one that's filled with mixture. So that's important. Now, of course, in this case, there was absolutely no mixture. There was no mixture in Jesus. Jesus, a pure vessel, bringing forth healing. The Pharisees saying, wow, well, we can't deny that this person was healed. But the power, the source of that power was demonic. Be prepared. When you operate in a genuine kingdom authority, be prepared. Especially in the days that we live in, where there unfortunately is a lot of hypocrisy. Unfortunately, there are a lot of claims of healing, but some are not coming from a pure place. Be aware, because people see that, and then their hearts become hardened. And then when they see this, they go, no, this is that, but this is not that. This is not the same. There is purity, and then there's performance. There's what's holy and what's pure, and then there's striving and ambition and faulty thinking and lifting up of self. And that's a sure setup for a fall. And that doesn't bring God any glory. It doesn't bring the Lord any glory. In everything that we do in this house, we will bring God glory. I don't care how big, I don't care how small that miracle, that healing, that deliverance, I don't care how big or small it may seem in your eyes. In the eyes of God, it's huge, and He will get all the glory. Amen?
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the Word.
And we need to be a people that are united in this. He says, a kingdom that is divided against itself will not stand. And you know, because when your house is divided, how easy is it to walk in unity? How easy? It's not, is it? It's very hard. When there is not a consistent moving forward in the Lord together. People say they want unity, they want unity, they want unity. It's like saying they want peace, they want peace, they want peace at all costs, but it's not peace at all costs. Jesus said a house divided can't stand, but he's referring to a house that is built on the unity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not just, we just have to tolerate and accept whatever is going on so that we can have unity. He's not saying that, because he did come to bring division. He came to bring division into the places where there are, where they reject him. Right? So we're going to be prepared. Kingdom authority. Don't let criticism, the criticism of the blind, sway your confidence. I say the blind because I'm talking about the spiritually blind, those that don't understand how God moves in power, those that may see miracles, but they allow their hearts to become jaded or hardened, or those that believe and received even for themselves, but they go home and they have an aunt or an uncle or someone in their family that puts a seed of doubt. It's what the Pharisees were trying to do because they saw Jesus heal, so that all the disciples and all the people that were there would question it. They would question exactly what they just saw take place. Don't tell me that the same thing doesn't take place in our lives. It does. So we need to stand on guard against that. You need to have the boldness of the Lord to say, no, I know God touched me. I know God healed me. I know that the Word says that this is how it's supposed to work, and I'm not letting anybody steal from me. That is an open door in and of itself. They call Jesus Beelzebub. It doesn't matter what they call you. If they call Jesus Beelzebub, if they call Jesus the ruler of demons, if they call Jesus, you know, and they believed this, they believed that you know, this power, this demonic power was operating through this pure vessel. But Jesus didn't sweat it. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't worried because he knew who he carried. He knew he carried the power of God. And the same has to take place with you. You yourself need to be a house that's not divided. And I'm talking about each and every individual. If I'm divided within my own self, if part of me believes and part of me doesn't believe, that's already a division, isn't it? Yeah. Now, if we put ourselves together and we've got this side that believes with this side that doesn't believe, there's a division again, isn't it? But we are all in the same house, under the same roof, listening to the same message day after day, week after week, right? We come twice a week. We listen to the same. We're hearing, our faith has grown. We believe God at his word. There's no division. There cannot be division in the house of God. Then you go home to your families. And some are unified, you both are on the same page, and sometimes it's not. But let's just say for those that it's not, they're not on the same page, you need to be united yourself with Christ. Just you alone, united with Christ, not giving way in your own heart to the enemy, will bring a strong force against the opposing power that is right in your own home because of Christ in you. Because with Christ, there's a majority. We can't change other people. We can't change other people. That's just the fact. Right? It's a fact, right? We cannot. We wish we could. We would have done it a long time ago. We can pray, and our prayers move mountains. But we literally can't change somebody. But we can certainly influence them. And that influence will bring change. Just give it time. Give it time. Why? Because there's the power of God. It's the power of his conviction working. But you know what is required? What I just said. Your house. You. I mean you as a vessel. You as an individual. No division. Walk in total faith. Walk in total belief. Walk knowing that even if they reject me, they reject Christ in me. They rejected Jesus. They made fun. They ridiculed. They mocked. They called him names. But yet God said, if the house is divided, how is it going to stand? It's going to fall. So then therefore, make sure your house, your vessel, your life is not divided, not fragmented. Because that's what the Pharisees were hoping for. They were hoping that as Jesus performed this miracle, where this demon-possessed man was blind and he was mute, and then he was healed miraculously by the hand of Jesus, these Pharisees were hoping that as they had these ungodly thoughts of Beelzebub, that their negative influence would start to spread. And then others would start to doubt his influence. It's always about influence, isn't it? And we are here to influence people to go towards Christ. Right? Hallelujah. Beelzebub, also known as a name associated with the Philistine god. It was a serious charge. What they were saying. This was a serious charge, equating Jesus' divine power with an evil source. But in reality, they were trying to discredit Jesus. Because if they can discredit Jesus, if they could discredit his words and his work, right? They could destroy what the Lord was doing in salvation to his people. And there's nothing new under the sun. If he can discredit your walk, if he can discredit your walk by saying, uh-uh, and speaking words of doubt, you don't back up. You don't back down, and you don't change what you say. You stand strong, and you remember that Christ in me, the hope of glory. You remember that what God has started in me, God will also finish. If you yourself have doubt, if you yourself have unbelief, then you need to repent and get that out and repent. Say, Lord, I don't want it. I don't want any doubt. I don't want any division. I want to be whole. I want to be united with Christ in me. Yeah. Amen. It's simple. Yeah. It's simple. 25. Let's look at verse 25 and 26 again. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He knows every thought. He knows our thoughts. And he says to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If Satan casts out Satan... It says, how? It says, he is divided against himself. Like, you can't, you know, how is Satan going to cast out Satan? If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? It's a spirit of deception at work, church. It's a spirit of mockery at work. There's a spirit of doubt at work. It's trying to attack even God's elect. There's a spirit of comparison. Well, it wasn't this. What was it? Yes, but they didn't get this healing. What did they get? Do you hear what I'm saying? People try to discredit based on what didn't take place instead of focusing on what did. And that is a tactic of the enemy. Notice it happens all the time, and I'll say, but what did he do? Because there's a measure of growing people's faith, even those that walk in with faith. Faith grows. There's a measure of faith, and faith grows. What did he do? When you start to focus on what he did do, and you start giving honor to where honor is due, and you say, Lord, I glorify, I thank you, God. What you just did, you're going to continue. I thank you, God. Your faith grows. Your ability to receive grows. And the accuser of the brother, the mouth that is always trying to bring accusations and is always trying to discredit and disqualify what Jesus did, starts to reduce and starts to become silent. But we have to understand this is a tactic. It's exactly what took place here in this chapter, and it happens all the time. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Amen? But God looks at the heart. We know in 1 Samuel 16:7, it talks about God looking at the heart. People look at the outward, the exterior, right? They look at what looks good, what they think is going to be good. But God looks at the heart of every individual. Thank you, Father. We want to be aligned with the kingdom of God, the mission, God's mission. God's mission, amen? And we're all on his mission, amen? So when the body of Christ is united in the Lord, not just in anything, we're united in Christ and in godly principles, then we're a fortress. We're strong. We are a fortress, a strong, mighty fortress that is not easily broken. That's what we're called to be. Strong, mighty fortress. Thank you, Father. Let's continue reading here. I'm going to back up in 27. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He is saying, if I've cast out demon spirits by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. It's here. The kingdom you've seen the manifestation. In Luke, it talks about by the finger of God. If I cast out spirits by the finger of God. Here in Matthew, it says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And even today, the kingdom of God has come upon us. And we walk in this. We understand this is ours, not just for this very moment, not just for this night, but always. Always, always, always. It's the miracle of God. He puts his miracles on display for the church that have eyes to see and for those that are hungry. For those that are hungry for truth. Amen? Amen. When you cast out a demon, when you heal, when you pray for somebody and they get healed or they get saved or they get delivered or they get their gift of tongues or whatever it might be, you're breaking chains off of that individual. Right? You're literally breaking chains. You are doing your biblical mandate to walk and as an ambassador in Christ. Amen? And you're letting the demonic territory know you are here. The power of God in you is present, which means it has to go. That Jesus is on the throne and on the throne of your heart. Isaiah 61:1. Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We know this passage of Scripture. We will read it. We will pray through it. We will sing through this passage of Scripture. It's powerful. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord. And this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus prayed, that the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach, to heal, to restore. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of God is upon you to lay your hands upon yourself, to bring healing, and you know you can, and you know you should, right? To take authority over some spirit that would try to bring you down or put a heaviness or a weight upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, on you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to set captives free. Amen? Acts 10:38. It's what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because, what? The Lord God was with him. But Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Now, if Jesus went about healing all, doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Who brings the oppression? The enemy. The enemy, the devil does, right? But whom does he use? He uses people. He uses people that walk in doubt. He uses people that don't want to believe, have unbelief. He uses people that are jealous. He will use people that don't want you to walk in a powerful, you know, anointing to heal or to walk in the truth. That's what this is. He'll use people. So don't be shocked. But Jesus went about healing. He said, doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. You are to go out doing good. To do good is important. To heal all that are oppressed by the devil. When there's oppression in your presence, you've been equipped to deliver. When there's oppression in your presence, you walk with, someone you know, don't let that opportunity go by. Don't miss that opportunity. There's division in the camp. Bring unity. Pray. Cast out that spirit of division. Cast out that spirit of heaviness. You have to know you're an ambassador. You're part of the army of God. And God will use you as an undercover agent, an undercover cop. He'll use you in this way because he'll give you insight. He'll show you how to pray, what to say, how to pray. So that individual doesn't remain in darkness. So that individual doesn't remain divided with what God has. It's always about what the Lord wants to do. It's always, everything we do is to bring people closer to Jesus. What does the enemy do? Do everything to remove you from his presence. To do everything to try to cause doubt. Oh, well, God's not touching you. Well, God's not healing you. Well, when is it going to happen? The enemy will do everything that he can to try to bring that doubt so that the testimony in your life can be undermined. It could be lessened. But we're not gonna. If they call Jesus Beelzebub, don't allow the tempter, don't allow the accuser of the brethren to work his angle in your life. You're called by God. Every one of you, you're called by God. And we're called to walk in supernatural spiritual strength. So Jesus went about, Acts 10 and 38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Because God was with him. But God is with us. God is with us. For God was with him. If the Lord is with you and you're in tune, you're listening, what is it that you cannot do? If God is healing someone that he's brought you to, if he has a word for you to give that individual, that's going to bring healing to their heart. Who cares if somebody tries to undermine what you're saying or doing? What is the Lord saying? Be more concerned with what the Lord is saying in your life than what others are. People are too concerned with what other people are saying. They're too concerned with other people's opinions about them. Don't be so concerned. Listen, the more that you know who you are in Christ, the more that you grow in the love of God, the more that you know that you are his and that you belong to him. You are his beloved. The more that you know that, the more you know you cannot fail. The more you know that you have what it takes, the more that you won't allow the pressures of men, women, the pressures of people to stop what God is doing. You will not allow it. Completely steadfast in him. That means strengthened in him. That means strong in him. That means you know that you know. Regardless of what God did for you tonight, we are thankful. You are thankful. If he did the whole healing in one shot, praise God. If he did it in partial steps, praise God. We know that God is faithful and he will finish what he has begun. Amen? 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8, it says, the Son of God was manifested for this purpose. It was for what took place tonight? The Spirit of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus. Jesus was manifested for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Literally, this is the purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And he says, I want you to walk as one to destroy the works of the devil. I want you to know that's your mandate. I want you to know that you recognize what is the mandate that God has given you. And I want you to know that you're walking in that kind of dynamic power. Dynamic power. Don't let the enemy tell you anything other than that. Don't let doubt creep in. Don't let yabut creep in. Amen? Are we following? 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. The Son of God was manifested for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 12. And I want to read the last two verses, 29 and 30. It says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods? How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? This is where people, some fail here. And then he will plunder his house. Got to bind some things. You got to bind some things. You need to be the stronger man. There may be a strong man at work, but you need to be the stronger man. For he, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. I'm going to reread 29. This is what Jesus said. He just got done being accused of operating under demonic power. They saw the miracle. The disciples were in awe. The Pharisees are right there, ready to deny the source of his strength, the source of the power. Look at what Jesus says in verse 29 and 30. He says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Somebody has to enter in and bind that strong man. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. He is saying it is someone with a stronger authority, someone that has the stronger influence. Don't shrink back. That's when you press forward. That's when you don't allow the opposition to steal your faith or to give you a measure of doubt. Instead, you have to be the stronger one and say no. Jesus' word is good for me. If he said it, I believe it. Amen. If he said it, it's final. Amen. Amen. And you walk in that godly confidence. What happens is you become the stronger individual. It's your faith in the finished work of the cross. It's your faith in what he's already spoken that takes precedence. One that's stronger has to come and bind that strong man. We're not saying he's weak. He's a strong man. We're talking powers. We're talking principalities. We're talking about things that are released to try to bring you down, to try to cause divorce, to try to cause division, to try to cause failure, to try to cause rebellion and kids being estranged, to try to cause all kinds of crazy, just complete dysfunction. That's just in your families. Then what about in bodies and in minds and bring torment? And loss and an inability to make godly decisions and an inability to really stand firm in the truth, the wisdom that God gives us, simply because a strong man was allowed to enter and there wasn't a stronger one there present to dissolve and cast out what was working against you. You be the stronger man. You rise up in strength in Christ. You know that the Spirit of God that is in you is resurrection power. You know that what God has put in you is enough. Don't compare yourself with somebody. Stop comparing. That's like the worst thing you can do. But why? I don't see this in my life. I don't see that in my life. Stop comparing. That's an agent of the enemy too. Just maybe your gift doesn't work like that. Maybe it works differently and you're shortchanging the way God created you to work because your eyes are on somebody else. We know God wants to use each and every one of us to bring healing, to heal the sick, to deliver, to get people set free, to help families be restored, to help lives be restored. But all these different things I'm referring to, like even just now, about looking at somebody else's gift, and why don't I see that in my life? That is an agent of the enemy. It becomes a strong man. It becomes a strong man. A strong man is just that. It's an assignment of the enemy. It's a spirit that is sent from the enemy to try to bind you and to cause you to be weakened. Weakened in faith. Weakened. Weakened in your will. Weakened. But we're not called to be weak except for that in Christ. If we're weak, we're strong. Right? So Jesus was the stronger man in this picture, and he's like, you guys missed it. You guys missed it. I worked the miracle, and you missed it. You're allowing a house to be divided even though you saw miracles. It happens all the time. We know, we testify, because there are people that will come in, get healed, get delivered, be set free, And oh my goodness, you would say, wow, now they're really going to believe. And then they come in and someone spoke seeds of doubt. And some people lost their healing because the seeds of doubt were received. The Pharisees were trying to discredit the work that Jesus did. They were trying to lessen his influence, and they'll do the same. They'll try. But you're going to be the stronger man. You're going to rise up. You're going to be the stronger man. You're going to rise up and say, no. And our authority, which is what I'm referring to tonight, our authority is not based on anything other than the finished work of the cross. It is the finished work of the cross. It's Jesus came, he died, rose again to set captives free, but he also left us the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a gift. We've been gifted with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when I say you become the stronger man, I'm referring to let Christ rise up within you. You let him take the lead in you. Let him be the one that shows you how to pray, whom to pray for, how to speak. Let him be the one. Let the stronger one, which is Christ in you, rise up. Amen.